one of two official Arizona State songs. There's the second one. We're here broadcasting with Dr. Jack August of the Arizona Capitol Museum, Don Ryden, and Mrs. Kim Crawford from the museum as well. And, you know, Don, when we talk remodeling with clients, the first thing I always ask them, and this building's undergone some remodeling, you know, the first thing I always ask them, I write them a letter and I say, you know, I'm going to meet you at such and such a time. If you have a set of as-builts, it would greatly enhance the speed with which we'll be able to get the design done. As-builts are pretty critical. When you have a building like this, does the state library store these plans?
One would think so, but by accidents of history and the roll of the fateful dice, sometimes these important documents just aren't to be had where you would think. They walked, they slithered, they crawled, they rolled. The State Library and Archives was not in possession of the original drawings of the state or territorial capital from 1899, from James Riley Gordon. And during the nation's centennial back in the 1976, yes, the legislature wanted to restore the building, and they had a difficult time doing so. But Jerry Doyle, who is
local architect,
was the dean of historic preservation architects back in the 70s, was commissioned by Michael Carman and the legislature to do the restoration. I was working for him at that time. And to find the plans, he became the history detective. He tracked down the granddaughter of the original architect living in Syracuse, New York. He, at his own expense, flew there. She said, well, Grandpa's stuff is all rolled up in boxes in the apartment up above the garage. You can take a look at it yourself. And so Jerry went through all of the rolls of drawings of Gordon, and by golly, he found the state capital plans.
At this point, this is a 75, 76, 77-year-old set of plans up in his attic in Syracuse, New York.
Exactly. And he brought those back, and those became the basis for the restoration design, because so much of the Capitol on the inside had been remodeled over the years that you could hardly tell what the originals were like. So that and physical investigation led us to find all kinds of surprises and treasures in the building.
Surprises and treasures in a great building. And how about personalities of the great building? I mean, I don't know that we could finish a conversation on this topic without hitting more specifically on Barry Goldwater and Carl Hayden.
Yeah, I think those are the two giants in from statehood up through a better part of the 20th century, and we've had and you know, we're not doing justice to some of the other dominant personalities and influences we've had, but certainly Senator Goldwater was our legislative water master and one of the most powerful people that ever served in the history of the U.S. Senate. He became chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee and therefore controlled much of the purse strings of the federal government. One thing that happened in 1962, I'll give a specific story, just an anecdote. Senator Hayden was about 84 years old in 1962. And the Supreme Court decision I just referenced in the last segment was coming down. It was a favorable decision to Arizona, and it would provide enough water so the Central Arizona Project, which we see and take for granted today, was feasible. Had we lost that case, it wouldn't have been feasible, and we would be the size of
Tucson. We would have lost all that allocation.
Yeah, a lot of it. Something this big couldn't happen. But Hayden was in a position after 62, so he needed to run for one more term. And so Barry Goldwater was then the junior senator from Arizona, 1962, and he raised $50,000. And the
Goldwater Republican.
Goldwater's Republican. Hayden's the old progressive Democrat.
Yeah, yeah.
And but they worked well together back in the day when they worked well together. And so Goldwater raised $50,000, and the Republican nominee, Evan Meekham, thought that that money was going to go to him. Instead, he raised the money and gave it to the Democratic Party, and because when I interviewed Senator Goldwater, he said because it was so damn important that Carl Hayden be reelected, and then he said something else about his party's nominee, which no need to repeat it here, and thus it helped Hayden get reelected, and it shows the kind of guy Goldwater was, and ultimately it took 5 years, but by 1968 we finally get that bill passed, and we enjoy the benefits of the Central Arizona Project and all of its consequences and implications today.
Gosh. And you walk through the museum, Kim, and I mean, you can just kind of feel the history that the walls and the rooms contain. You've got the legislative.
Yes, the Arizona House Hall of Representatives is remade as the 1910 Constitution, basically the Arizona State Constitutional Convention, based on photographs that we had available. So it's a reenactment, basically, of what that room looked like at that time.
And the court is there?
The Arizona Supreme Court, we actually, there was one in the 1901 building, but it was never actually used by the court because it was too small. So we do have a Supreme Court room in there, but it was too small. In the 1938 edition is the Arizona Supreme Court, where our first female Chief Justice, Lorna Lockwood, sat, and is also where the Arizona State Supreme Court heard the Miranda case, which was later overturned by the United States Supreme Court. So we had some really historic things happening in our building, I mean, outside of the legislature.
Any bullet holes?
Go on, Kim.
The winged victory, actually. When they brought her down for refurbishment.
She's the statue on top of the dome. Winged victory.
Mm-hmm. She is actually also a weather vane. So a 7-mile-per-hour wind will move her. When she was taken down for refurbishment, she weighed about 400 pounds. And when they looked at her, they found bullet holes. So the legend, the legend of Winged Victory is that the Cowboys would shoot at her to see her turn, because she's a weather vane. So when they refurbished her, she actually gained 200 pounds, but she looks great. I wish I could gain 200 pounds and still look as good as she does. And they put her back, and she still turns today. There was a period in the 1950s where the legislature decided they didn't want to look at her backside, and so they did tie her down. But luckily, we have her here to turn around for us today.
The wind blows the wrong direction, and she shows her backside.
It's clothed. It's clothed, so it's not. It's not. You know, it's not as bad as it could be. But So that's our story about Winged Victory. Is she had bullet holes in her, so we think the prevailing story is that the Cowboys like to have a little fun with our statue on top of the dome.
And she's on top of the dome. And mm-hmm. I have to tell you, I incorrectly believe from the day I got here that that dome was always a copper dome.
It was just basically painted copper because, lo and behold, the territorial legislature didn't have enough money to finish off the vision of the architect, and so they simply painted the dome copper color.
1901.
Right. And so in later years during the restoration.
The centennial renovation of 76.
Right.
1976.
Correct. That's when we were able to raise the money to put on the copper sheathing, as was originally envisioned, to finish off all of that local materials kind of
concept,
motif.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's copper today, but it's been relayed one more time, right?
Yes, it has. The copper that they did manage to put on in the first place was very thin. And so the hailstorms and the weather and so forth took its toll on that. So it had to be replaced once again.
Copper now. Wings of Victory, statue weather vane, mm-hmm. fully operational, functional.
She is fully operational.
And bullet holes all plugged.
All plugged.
All right. What other events occurred inside this building that we might be able to talk about? Any, let's talk about how many times we probably had issues of land fraud throughout the state of Arizona. We have copper, we have cattle, we have citrus, we have climate, we have cactus, and we have land fraud.
Yeah.
And water, right?
Water.
And water, right? I mean, land fraud. I mean, it dates back to the first time we put a surveyor down on the ground.
That's right. And then the famous James Addison Rivas land fraud, the with Baca floats and all that, and that's a 19th century. I think it was made into a movie, if I'm not mistaken, some in the mid-40s or 50s, and up to the time of Ned Warren, if you remember that name, and selling land without any water availability. I mean, we have a long history of land swindles and land ne'er-do-well doers.
Well, if I remember correctly, and I was young at the time, but before there was a Prescott Valley, that entire area was called Grass Valley or Antelope Valley.
Yeah.
The first little hotel that got put up there, I think, was called Antelope Valley Motel, and we would actually, not we, but these land perpetrators would fly in retiring civil servants from the Middle West, and they were actually re-deeding and reselling the same piece of property three or four times. We'd fly you out here and stay and let you stay in the motel for free. We sold you the same lot we sold to Mrs. Jones from Florida last week.
That's correct. I think Diamond Valley, which is now, I happen to be a Prescott resident.
Okay,
and,
all right.
I'm down here a lot. I have a place here, but my home is in Prescott, and when I drive down to Phoenix for my week of work here, I drive by Diamond Valley, and I think of Ned Warren and the 60s, and he was really the personification of land fraud. But it's been a time-honored tradition in Arizona.
Well, I grew up at the foothills of the McDowell Mountains, and after World War II, they were letting veterans homestead portions of the McDowell Mountains, and all they had to do was go in and pour a slab and build. They had to improve the property.
Right, right.
And so as you would ride your horses or your motorcycles all over what is now Silver Leaf and McDowell Mountain Park and all there, you'd find slabs and stone fireplaces. And it was these properties that were homesteaded. And when I was in high school in the 70s, they were selling those for $15,000.
Yeah. Yeah, correct. I know.
And I didn't buy one.
You didn't have $15,000.
The museum actually has an exhibit called Defense to Development that actually talks about the development of Arizona after World War II and kind of what you're talking about and how our population just exploded after that time.
Yes.
And it's especially interesting to get into Don Ryden's specialty, talking about how the designs of the homes and the importation of technology, and how many times in the older homes we had much of the technology then passively that then we forced into aggressively when we had electricity and the compressors and everything else to create the environment. We're talking Arizona and Arizona history here at Rosie on the House. We're going to take a short break and come and wrap it all up in our Valentine's Day edition, special edition, Arizona Statehood 104th Birthday Celebration from the shadows of the Arizona Capitol Museum this morning. We'll be right back.